Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. Stick around. We have so many scandals brewing in the halls of Republican, corporate, Bush, Giuliani, Carrick, Roger Ailes, Sean Hannity, Swamp, as to render everything just kind of mush. It's mush. I swear to God, it's mush. But we're going to try to find some firm ground here this evening, so stick around. My God, it is, you talk about the vast right-wing conspiracy. When that phrase was coined back during, who said it? Was it Hillary Clinton that said it during the vast right-wing conspiracy's attack on her husband? A lot of people just went chuckle-chuckle, snarf-snarf, yeah, sure. Well, here it is. The Rudy Giuliani, Bernard Carrick, Judith Regan, Sean Hannity, Fox News Channel, Roger Ailes, Rupert Murdoch, attempt to suborn perjury, well, not perjury, but lying to the FBI, which is why Martha Stewart went to prison. Ah! We'll try to get to it. Also, this guy, Korngard, the Inspector General of the United States, Howard Krongard. Is it Krongard or Korngard? I guess it's Krongard. Testimony today was astonishing as Krongard sat there under oath and denied allegations that his brother, Buzzy Krongard, former CIA executive director, sits on the board of Blackwater USA. He sat there and denied it under oath. Said, no, it's an ugly rumor. They took a break. They all came back. And the U.S. Inspector General, oh, my God, the State Department's Inspector General, Howard Krongard, then had to say, oops, I called my brother. Gosh, you're right. He does sit on the board of Blackwater. Now, why is this important? Well, very simply, because Howard Krongard, the State Department's Inspector General, is supposed to be investigating Blackwater. Oh, my. I think I just made that as clear as it's ever going to get. Anyway, let's move on. This is from All India Radio. And FB sent this in. What am I trying to say? Oh, yeah. Well, we pray for rain here in the United States, especially here in Georgia. We talked about this last night. The governor and the lieutenant governor and three Protestant ministers, a fundamentalist, all got together with about 200 people at the state capitol yesterday and raised their arms and prayed to God for rain to kind of offset this horrendous, hideous drought that we're experiencing here in Georgia because of the misuse of our water resources, total misuse of our water resources. So while Americans pray for rain, what do the Aussies do? The Australians are thoroughly pissed. And All India Radio reported the other day, tens of thousands of people have staged protests across Australia calling on political parties to take stronger action against climate change. They had something called Walk Against Warming rallies were held in the state capital, in cities in about 50 towns, as Australia prepares for a general election on 24 November. The people in these demonstrations want greenhouse gas emissions to be cut by 30% within the next 13 years. And the biggest protests were in Melbourne and Sydney. Australia is in deep, deep trouble because of the drought that they're experiencing that has been going on now for 4 or 5 years. And with the information that so much of this is being caused by the sort of global climate change, the earth heating that so many of these jackasses on the right, whether they're in America or Canada or Australia or Africa, it doesn't make any difference. So many of these jackasses on the right have said, no, it's not. Nothing's happening. It's all cyclical. We did this before 8,000 years ago. Don't worry about it. The people in Australia are facing an end to their country, just an end to their country because of the lack of water. And they want something done. The problem here is if Australia stopped, if every single carbon emitter in Australia stopped tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in the morning, it would have zero effect on the weather patterns over Australia. For the obvious reason, no one else would go along with it. Don't forget, Australia is in the same neighborhood as India and China, the two biggest polluters after the United States. As a matter of fact, I think China has now exceeded the United States. India soon will, as carbon emitters. So the Aussies are starting to feel, I would imagine, those initial icy fingers of panic starting to clutch at their descending colons and some of their other vital organs about what they are facing. About what they are facing because of global climate change. Here in the United States, we gather together on the county courthouse or the state courthouse lawn, or I'm sorry, the state capitol lawn, and pray. The other item that popped up yesterday we didn't get to, the deputy to the director of national intelligence. Now, remember, the that guy is General somebody. I forget his name. It doesn't matter. But his deputy stated in a speech recently that Americans need to stop thinking of anonymity as being part of privacy. Now, this was on CNN's website the other day, and Prairie 2 sent it to me this afternoon. We got to stop thinking privacy equals anonymity. That's one thing Americans have always had. White Americans have, most white Americans have always had is the anonymity that comes with privacy and vice versa. If no one knows who you are, then you're safe, you're secure from whatever forces you may think might be wanting to tamper with you or your credit report or your life or your daughter or your son or whatever. But now, the deputy to the director of national intelligence is suggesting that we got to start thinking of privacy that way. Rather, we've got to start thinking that privacy is government and corporations keeping your information confidential. In other words, you will not have privacy or anonymity. Everything about you will rest with either or in some cases both, government and corporations. And that we are going to put our faith in government and corporations to keep everything private. That's what this guy is suggesting. Stop thinking of yourself in your fantasies as a private, anonymous person, and start thinking of yourself as someone whose entire life is exposed, but the people to whom it has been exposed will keep it a secret. That would be the government and corporations. Now, according to Prairie 2, the Deputy Director of National Intelligence further expanded on this by using Facebook and MySpace, the two internet sites, as examples of how no one has any privacy in the internet age. Oh, that's a good example, right. Now, under the rule of the Bush crime family, nothing you do is anonymous but the fact that the government and corporations have all your information, and they share that between government and corporations, and it's going to be kept confidential. In other words, as Prairie 2 writes, you don't know what they have, or whether it's accurate, or what they do with it. You just have to trust them. You might get a hint when you can't board an airplane, or you can't get a job, or you can't get credit. But you have to trust them. Watch what you say, who you associate with, don't protest, and don't be mistaken for someone who does. Because the people who now have your identity, and your privacy, and your confidentiality, and your history, you must rely on those organizations, government and corporations, to keep it all private. So stop thinking about those amendments to the Constitution that recognize the right to remain secure in our homes, our personal papers, our, you know, that kind of stuff. It's over. It's done. It's finished. Ouch. How are we going to get it back? How are we ever going to get it? I guess we're not. Maybe the Deputy Director of National Security is just trying to make it a little bit easier on Americans who still have this anachronistic idea, this kind of old-fashioned thought that, hey, you know, my private life is my private life. And they're trying to let us know, no, that's gone now. You know, you don't see Model Ts on the street. There's no such thing anymore. You very seldom, except in museums, see things like slinkies and yo-yos. So start thinking the same way about your privacy.
I always feel I don't email, however. And there's a reason. I don't want you reading my personal stuff.
All right, during the break, I've got this from the Music Factory. Hey, Mike, O.J. Simpson has to stand trial. Yeah, here we go again. And as the Music Factory writes, all news will now come to a complete stop. Oh, no. Oh, God. The official report says Simpson must stand trial and charges could send him to prison for life. That's according to the Las Vegas Township Justice of the Peace. Joseph Bonaventure ordered that today, this evening, this afternoon, whatever. This is the only time I'm going to bring this up. The only time until this rat bastard is sent to prison. So this is it. Simpson's two co-defendants, Charles Ehrlich and Clarence Stewart, also bound over to stand trial. The three of these pissant thugs are set to appear November 28th before a district judge for a felony arraignment. Simpson has pled not guilty to 12 criminal counts in connection with what prosecutors contend was an armed robbery. The counts include conspiracy, kidnapping, robbery, burglary, coercion, and assault with a deadly weapon. Goodbye, O.J. Goodbye. Seriously, that's it. No phone calls on this guy. He's a total non-entity. He doesn't matter. O.J. Simpson, it is about as useless as teats on a bull. So let's just forget it. But I thought I would pass that on to you. One other item here before we get into the really, 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 really heavy stuff tonight. As you know, we're having a drought here in Georgia. Everybody's under water restrictions. This has been going on now for a number of months. The restrictions, and they're very serious, and we're in serious trouble here in Georgia. If we don't get some rain here in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains soon, and I mean lots of it, I honestly don't know what's going to happen. Water rationing, I guess, I don't know. I have no idea. One of the counties that make up Metro Atlanta, there are five of them that make up the actual Metro Atlanta. I think the economic area is 14 counties, but there are five that make up Metro Atlanta. Cobb County is one of them. Cobb County is still remains one of the wealthier, more right-wing neo-Nazi counties in here in the southeast, especially around Georgia, around Atlanta. There was a report the other day in the paper that a guy who lives out here, he has a huge home. A 28,000, well, no, it's not that big. How big is the house? It's a huge house. 14,000 square foot home on four lush acres in a subdivision called Atlanta Country Club. It has a pool. It's we've seen pictures of it on television. It looks like something from, the Gilded Age, which it is. Between September, early September and early October, 1 month, the guy who owns the house, Chris Carlos, used 440, half a million gallons of water in this 14,000 square foot home. The average water use for him was about 2,000 gallons daily. The average Cobb County household uses 200 gallons daily. This guy, 10 times as much, 2,000 gallons. Carlos was identified by the Cobb Water System as its top user. Among September bills, nearly 400,000 gallons, the Cobb Commission chairman said it is frankly inconceivable to use that much water, regardless of the drought. Now, the way that's set up here, somebody like this Carlos will pay $5 per 1,000 gallons on more than 50,000 gallons consumed per month. Typical household consumers use about 8,000 gallons monthly, and those of us who stick below that level pay less than half that. But this guy, Chris Carlos, doesn't care. You know, he can afford to use water while the rest of us are on heavy duty restrictions, while the rest of us are worried about a drought. Chris Carlos can do whatever the hell he wants. When all this was made public, he went and got a public relations company yesterday, and today they made a statement on his behalf. The Ledley Group of Atlanta said that Mr. Carlos in the future will consume less than the 440,000 gallons his October bill says he used. Oh, well, that means what? He'll consume 400,000 gallons? That's less. Carla said in the statement, I didn't realize the extent of my water use, and I regret I didn't act sooner. I want to be part of the solution to the water crisis. I'm going to take whatever steps are necessary to substantially reduce my water consumption. You got to wonder what that means, right? But Ben Birch over at White Rose Society did some research and found out about Chris Carlos, along with his address, a website, fundrace.com, I think it's fundrace.com, which lists political contributions. Ben found out that Chris Carlos, the guy who can afford to do anything he wants to, so he does, while the rest of us are suffering with no water, Chris Carlos gave $2,000 to the Bush campaign twice in 2004. Twice. But that's in violation of the law, isn't it? Oh, wait a minute. He's a Republican. He's a rich Republican. It was a contribution to the Bush campaign. I guess it's not in violation of the law at all. Only for people like you and me. Those of us who get by on a few hundred gallons of water a month.
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
We are a rock revolving around a golden sun. We are a billion children rolled into one.
So 25 before the hour. All right, let's see if we can sort a couple of these horrendous scandals out. As you know by now, Rupert Murdoch News Corporation story, Giuliani tried to pass it off today as a gossip column item. It is not. This is very, very incredibly serious stuff. In the first place, the connection between Kerik and Giuliani, it doesn't bring into question Giuliani's ability to make decisions about the people that he surrounds himself with. It points out that Giuliani has no problem putting in key positions people who are goddamn criminals. I mean, just criminals. That's all. Absolute liars and criminals. If you think if you think Bush has been a Nazi, a Giuliani administration would be right after 9/11. If you remember, Giuliani tried to get the elections that were scheduled for two months later in New York canceled, so that he could stay on as the chief executive. I don't know where to start with this story. Judith Regan, the former book publisher, says in her lawsuit that the protests her dismissal by the News Corporation. She's filed a $100 million defamation civil suit against News Corporation. She says that a senior executive there encouraged her to lie to federal investigators about her past affair with Bernard Kerik after he had been nominated to become Homeland Security Secretary in 2004. Now, remember, Martha Stewart went to prison for lying to an FBI agent. She did not go to prison for insider trading. She did not go to prison for anything having anything whatsoever to do with stock trades. She went to prison because she lied to an FBI agent. It's not called perjury, but if you are suborning lying to the FBI, that is now everybody in the Bush crime family does this. This is why everybody involved in the Valerie Plame affair, with the exception of this half-wit Libby, walked. No big deal. So suborning perjury or suborning lies to the FBI means nothing, absolutely nothing, to the Bush crime family and its tentacles, which include Giuliani, Fox News Corporation, Bernard Kerik, all of these thugs. But if it turns out, if there is an investigation, I wonder who the senior official with News Corporation could be. I'll make a calculated guess. It's Roger Ailes. It's the guy who set up Fox News Channel. Every time I watch Hannity, I don't watch him on his program, I watch these little bits on YouTube, where Hannity has Giuliani on. If Giuliani were a woman, who said this on I think it was on Keith Urban's program, Hannity fawns over Giuliani to the extent that if Giuliani were a woman, she'd have a sexual harassment suit against Hannity. Hannity has gotten the word from Roger Ailes. Stroke this guy, play with him, give him the best possible situation, put him on the air as many times as you like. He's the one we want to be president. Now, why is that? Well, for one thing, Giuliani and Roger Ailes and Murdoch, to a lesser extent, are great friends. It was Giuliani who made sure that Fox News Channel got on the New York City cable network system back when it first came online. So, you know, these thugs, these criminals, these rat bastards, this is like a spider web. Every single one of them is involved. So here comes Judith Regan. If I were Judith Regan, I would not get on small planes for a while. I wouldn't go near the subway. I wouldn't walk my dog at night. I would have around me four, maybe six, fully armed guards. How about someone from, no, not Blackwater, fully armed guards. This woman, all of a sudden, is in dire jeopardy because she's taking on the head Nazi in the communications business in America. That is Rupert Murdoch. That is Roger Ailes. That is the News Corp. And all the little piglets that work for the News Corp, including Sean Hannity. The lawsuit that Regan has filed asserts that the News Corporation executive, I'm going to, just for the hell of it, let's pretend that somebody named Roger Ailes, wanted to protect the presidential aspirations of Giuliani, Kerik's mentor, who had appointed him. Giuliani, remember, had appointed Kerik to the post of New York City Police Commissioner, and had recommended Kerik to be the first head or the second head of Department of Homeland Security. When it came out that Kerik was an adulterous, crime family-connected rat bastard, he withdrew his name saying he had nanny problems. Remember that? Who was the Clinton, one of the Clinton nominees, a woman of... Zoe Baird, to be attorney general, withdrew her name after the right-wing scream machine found out she had hired an illegal nanny. So Kerik figured, well, you know, that was good, so I'll use that. That's not the case at all. Like Giuliani, he's an adulterous, lying, stinking, foul-mouthed Nazi. Miss Regan says in her lawsuit that's seeking $100 million in damages, that she was the object of a campaign to smear and discredit her. And what did they do? The first thing they did, they called her an anti-Semite. That always works, doesn't it? An anti-Semite. New York Times today says, Miss Regan had an affair with Mr. Kerik, who is married, beginning in the spring of 2001. When her imprint, Regan Books, began work on his memoir, The Lost Son. In December 2004, after the relationship had ended and shortly after Mr. Kerik's Homeland Security nomination fell apart, newspapers reported that the two had carried on their sexual affair at an apartment near Ground Zero that had been donated as a haven for weary rescue workers. Jesus. I mean, come on. It's one thing to get it on with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, but to do it in an apartment that was specifically given for the people who are... But these are Republicans. These are Republicans. They're just like this half-ass here in Atlanta. Who doesn't care? 440,000 gallons of water in a month? So what? I can pay for it. These people don't care. Married? Doesn't mean anything. I want to get a little on the side. I want to be the head of Department of Homeland Security. I want to have my apartment worked on by a mob-connected contractor. I'm Bernard Kerik. I'm Giuliani's best girlfriend. What difference does it make, huh? We're outside the law. We're Republicans. Now, Of course, last week, Kerik was indicted on federal tax fraud and other charges. We'll see what happens to that case. The complaint, the 70-page complaint that Judith Regan filed said, quote, defendants were well aware that Regan had a personal relationship with Kerik. In fact, the suit goes on, a senior executive in the News Corporation organization told Regan that he, the senior executive, believed she, Ms. Regan, had information about Kerik that, if disclosed, would harm Giuliani's presidential campaign. This executive advised Regan to lie to and to withhold information from investigators concerning Kerik. Now, who was investigating Kerik? The FBI. One of Ms. Regan's lawyers, Brian Kerr of the firm Dreyer LLP, said that Regan has evidence to support her claim that she'd been advised to lie to federal investigators who were vetting Mr. Kerik and who might have sought to question her about their romantic involvement. What do you want to bet she has? Tape recordings? Yeah. The lawsuit doesn't say whether Ms. Regan was in fact interviewed as part of the inquiry into Kerik's fitness for to be director of Homeland Security. And if she was interviewed, it doesn't say what she told investigators. Now, News Corporation, I love this line in the New York Times. The News Corporation controls a variety of media outlets worldwide, including 20th Century Fox, the New York Post, and the Fox News Channel, where Ms. Regan was once host of a talk show. I understand. New York Times can't list everything that News Corp has as its holdings regarding global media. The newspaper isn't that thick. But these people, you see, they ride so far above you and me. They don't give a goddamn about our struggles, about our lives, about what they are feeding us that's supposed to constitute news. They couldn't care less. They play their ditzy games way above the heads of people like you and me.
The Fox News Channel's coverage of the presidential race has been a topic of some discussion within rival campaigns because the channel is directed by Mr. Giuliani's friend of 20 years, Roger Ailes.
Now, what's Giuliani's attitude? I wonder if Pat Robertson is... What does Pat Robertson think about this? Anything? You know, he just endorsed Giuliani, right? The demon from hell, Pat Robertson, just endorsed Giuliani. What does this mean to the Christian, so-called, they're not really Christians, mouth breathers who follow Pat Robertson in the 700 Club to find out this latest bit of slime-encrusted scandal from the Giuliani campaign? Anything? Does it mean anything?
Ms. Regan was fired and her imprint shut down after a HarperCollins lawyer, Mark Jackson, claimed she had used an anti-Semitic remark in describing the internal campaign to fire her as a Jewish cabal. Oh, my.
Haven't we had enough criminals in the executive branch? Are we going to trade the Bush crime family for the Giuliani crime syndicate and the Roger Ailes media conglomerate? If you got to vote GOP and you're a Christian, go with Huckabee. He simply can't be as crooked as these other criminals, could he?
We'll serve time at night when the lights begin to dim. When the smoke seems to clear, you can't say what you want. We're all criminals here.
Our plan is working. We're going to make elections.
Our plan is working. Okay, the, excuse me, the State Department Inspector General Howard Krongard situation during today's House Oversight Committee hearings on the performance of this rat bastard lying thug. Henry Waxman, the chairman of the committee, revealed that Krongard's brother, Buzzy, oh my God, Scooter, Buzzy, who was the former CIA executive director, Buzzy Krongard, sits on Blackwater USA's board. Now, Waxman revealed that today. It was asked to this to the pissant here, Howard Krongard, as a question. Krongard vehemently denied the allegation, and he called it. He's sitting there under oath. He called it, quote, an ugly rumor, end quote. Here's what he said. Quote, I can tell you very frankly, I'm not aware of any financial interest or position he, his brother, has with respect to Blackwater. It couldn't possibly have affected anything I've done because I don't believe it. And when these ugly rumors started recently, I specifically asked him. I do not believe it is true that he's a member of the advisory board, as you stated, and that is something I think I need to say. End quote. So, apparently, during a break in the hearing, Howie called Buzzy and found out that the ugly rumor was, in fact, true. And Howie promised to recuse himself from any further Blackwater investigations. Here's what he said after the break. Krongard said, quote, this is in response to something I think you found important. Do you get that? This is a response to something I think you found important. These sons of bitches don't find it important. They exist way above where you and I exist. They exist in the rarefied atmosphere because they are well-connected Republicans. They are members of the American Nazi Party. They don't subscribe to the same rules and regs that you and I do. Therefore, it was something that Waxman found important. That Howie's brother, Buzzy, sits on the board of Blackwater, and Howie is supposed to be investigating Blackwater's propensity to murder people in the street by the scores. Krongard says, this is in response to something I think you found important. During the break, I did contact my brother. I reached him at home. He's not at the hotel. Like, who gives a goddamn where he is? But I learned that he had been at the advisory board meeting yesterday. I'd not been aware of that. And I want to state on the record right now that I hereby recuse myself from any matters having to do with Blackwater. End quote. Waxman says, I see. You indicated you had called your brother to ask him earlier whether he was on the board. He told you he wasn't. Krongard. Well, that was about 6 weeks ago, and I was not aware, and this board meeting happened yesterday, and I found out just during the break that he, in fact, attended yesterday. Now, what Krongard's doing there is really just torturing, waterboarding the truth. As it was reported on Overman's program tonight, they had, who did they have? The senior political writer, I guess, for Newsweek. Who said that that is a lie. That is a lie under oath. Howie Krongard knew his brother was on the board. Knew it when he sat there and told the lie. Now, when are the Democrats going to find these sons of bitches in contempt? Perjury. Perjury. It goes on and on and on. When? Here's another one. But you see, they live someplace you and I can only aspire to live if we are degenerate sons of bitches like they are. They skate way above the plane upon which you and I exist, down here in the muck where we have a constitution and rules and laws and things that we're allowed to do and not allowed to do. These sons of bitches? Who was it among them who said, we create our own reality, and by the time you figured out what it is, we've moved on and created another one? What are the charges against Howie Krongard, the State Department's Inspector General, for God's sake? One of the charges against him is that he blocked a House investigation into whether weapons illegally smuggled into Iraq by Blackwater employees were then sold on the black market and ended up in the hands of a U.S.-designated terrorist organization, which would then be used to murder our soldiers! Murder our soldiers! It's not the Iranians! It's the Republicans who are doing this! People like Krongard! A gunrunner! A smuggler! His brother. So he, as the Inspector General, blocks the investigation. In a September 18th memo, Waxman revealed that Howie Krongard had ordered his investigators to, quote, immediately, all caps, stop cooperating with federal investigators. End quote. Had enough, huh? And impeachment's not off the table. And these son of a bitches walk, they leave these hearings and they laugh their asses off. And they go to the nearest steakhouse and sit down and throw back their bourbon and chomp down on their steaks, and they laugh at the rest of us. What the hell are those people going to do? They can't do anything to us. Do you all understand how thoroughly corrupted every single level of the United States government has gotten in 7 years? Do you realize that it's going to take 30 years to ferret out these evil sons of bitches, to pry them out like cockroaches hidden inside the walls of your house in order to get our government back? Do we understand that? I've got more. Stick around if you can stand it. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. 6:30 past the hour. Now, the Howard and Buzzy Krongard thing gets much worse. I haven't come to the worst part yet. So, bear with me, just a little longer. Now again, Howard Krongard, Inspector General for the State Department, was charged by whom? By Condoleezza Rice to investigate the charges against Blackwater. Blackwater is an outfit of murderous sons of bitches who are subject to nobody's laws but their own. And they butcher people. They shoot people down in the street and walk away from it. The Inspector General of the State Department has a brother who sits on the board of directors of Blackwater. How far do you think the investigation is going to go? That's right, nowhere. Howard Krongard, the State Department Inspector General, committed perjury today. He came back after the break and corrected himself, but he still committed perjury. What? My brother sits on the board of directors of Blackwater. Blackwater's all over the news because they're a murderous outfit of criminals, and I don't know that my brother sits on the board and I'm conducting an investigation, quote, quote, for the State Department? Oh, for Christ's sake, stop it! We are dumb, we Americans, but we're not that dumb. And one of the charges against Krongard, to recap, is that he blocked a House investigation into gun running into Iraq by Blackwater employees. Remember, his brother sits on the board. And the guns were sold on the black market and then used to kill Americans. Jesus God! A memo that Waxman revealed showed that Krongard had ordered his investigators to, quote, immediately stop cooperating with federal investigators. Once it surfaced that Blackwater employees were smuggling weapons into Iraq and selling them on the black market, and the weapons were ending up in the hands of U.S.-designated terrorist organizations. Now, I mean, here we sit. I'm sitting in this studio. You're listening to this program somewhere. Do you get the impact of that? Well, you know, that just knocked the wind out of me. But that's not the worst thing that's coming. Blackwater, I love the way it's put here. Blackwater is a State Department contractor and has received hundreds of millions of dollars of work from the government. The Bush administration has repeatedly rushed to the defense of Blackwater after the deadly September shootout that killed 17 Iraqi civilians, even promising legal immunity to the company's guards. Weeks after the shooting, the Bush crime family awarded a new $92 million contract to Blackwater. You see what I mean? These son of a bitches don't care. They don't exist where you and I do. They don't. Now, here's the worst part. Bob sent this to me at Super Beans. Doug sent it to me from Berkeley. Who else sent it to me? Several of you did, but I just printed off Bob and Doug's. Here's what Bob says. Hey, Mike, remember the mysterious put options on American and United Airlines that reaped millions of dollars on 9/11 by someone who appeared to have foreknowledge of the attacks? In the case of at least one of these trades, which has left a $2.5 million prize unclaimed, the firm used to place the put options on United Airlines stock was, until 1998, managed by the man who formerly was the number three executive director position at the CIA and now a member of Blackwater's advisory board, Buzzy Krongard. Let that sink in. The former number three man at the CIA. who was the manager of a stock firm that placed the put options on American and United shortly before the attack on this country, when the stock plunged. And the money sat there. Now, this is from Douglas in Berkeley. Hey, Mike, in Michael Rupert's book, Crossing the Rubicon, he documents in detail how Buzzy Krongard was a very high personality in the CIA with direct links to nefarious Wall Street big money. This is also directly connected to the unusual spike in put options that were placed on American and United days before 9/11. The financial institution that managed the majority of the put options was managed by none other than Buzzy Krongard. Right-wing conspiracy, Douglas writes. That is for goddamn certain, he writes. But when the Keene-Zelikow investigation into 9/11 discovered the money trail from 9/11 put options to Krongard, they dropped that aspect of the investigation like a hot rock. Why? Well, as they put it, the investigators, they saw that the put options weren't placed by the terrorists. I'm going to wake up slightly different tomorrow. I can't stand this. It doesn't stop. Only it keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Who sent me this email? The Republican Party, an attempt at humor. Republican Party is against partial birth, but they're in favor of partial drowning. tomorrow morning when I get up, when I wake up, because it takes a while to get up, when I wake up and reach to the nightstand and get the clicker and turn on CNN or Morning Joe with Scarborough on MSNBC, and I watch the news coverage of the Giuliani campaign, I'm going to look at it now with the kind of horror and a sucking feeling inside my brain and my spinal column and my guts that I live in a country truly, truly run on so many levels by a crime syndicate. Jesus God! This is unbelievable. And the circles keep getting smaller and smaller and smaller. until it includes little pieces of dreck like Sean Hannity get sucked into it. What's my job? Your job, boy, is to put Giuliani on as often as you can, act like you want to give him oral sex, interview him, stroke him, love him, kiss him. This is who the boss wants to be president. And as far as Krongard and Carrick and Ailes and Murdoch and Bush and Cheney and on and on and on, these people exist someplace above you and me. From Andre, lest we forget, Giuliani's father was a convicted hold-up man who served time in upstate prison and was later employed as an enforcer for a mafia loan shark operation. When the book Rudy, an investigative biography by Wayne Barrett, was first released, Giuliani denied, but later admitted that it was true. According to the book, a number of his other relatives were also in the mafia, besides the uncles who were firemen and police officers that he proudly refers to in public speeches. And this is from Angie. Hi, Mike. I'm finally at the point where I can't help but laugh at these endless exposures of slimy criminality. Every one of these people is so dirty, there's not enough soap on earth to clean them up. It's a comedy of goofball mafioso. The irony of Pat Robertson getting a pie in his face right after endorsing Giuliani is perfect. They can't open their mouths without lying. It's a given. Makes you want to take a shower, doesn't it? This is every bit as good as Clinton pulling his "How dare you!" line. "Excuse me, Mr. Clinton, how dare me? I'm not the one who got impeached for lying." Funny stuff, Angie writes. Kind of like stepping barefoot into cold cat puke. Somebody shoot me. Angie.
I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love. I'm just a singer of simple songs, I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran.
Soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
Did you hear about Fallujah and the hundreds of thousands dead? Did you hear about the torture in the newspapers you read? Did you pretend it didn't matter? Did you blame a few bad men? Did you think your leaders would...
It's 21 past the hour. I gotta calm down. Jesus. I really do, but it's time to buy a couple of new guns. I just have a feeling, Kathy. I know the budget. We don't have it in the budget, but I'm heading out tomorrow. This is just I can't get past all this. I can't. Over my entire life, I would read horrible stories. I could get past them. First time I ever bought a gun, I think I've said this before, the first time I ever bought a gun, it was during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And I had friends say, "Well, you're going to shoot down a Russian missile with your gun?" I said, "No, it's when the bombs start dropping, as they surely are going to, and the hordes come streaming out of Toledo, Ohio, out here to the country where I lived. I'm going to have to protect myself." "Oh, you're going to shoot Americans?" "You're goddamn right I will." So that's the first time I ever bought a gun. And over the course of my life, you know, I've been able to let things kind of just slip past. I've used various ways of doing it over the course of my life. Smoking a lot of reefer at different times. Focusing on meditation principles. I don't sit. I walk and meditate. I'm swimming is another way. being with friends, clotting up my brain with stuff like friendships and moments with little kids, some of whom were mine, some of whom were my friends' kids, yada, yada, yada. So over the course of my life, I've been able to let this stuff slip. Just let it go by, let it go by. Adopt the Zen principle. Don't hold on to any of this garbage. Let it flow. Let it go. And all of a sudden, God help me, for some reason I can't do that anymore. And I wish I could. I would like to be so not above this. I'm not above this stuff, but aside from it. I'd like to find that parallel universe to just kind of step into and let this crap flow by. But I can't anymore, because now it's clear to me that the biggest threat to me, my family, you, this country, our Constitution, is here. It's in this country. It's not Muslims. It's not commies. It's not Al Qaeda. It's these Americans, our fellow citizens, who are out to devour everything they can, destroy everything they can. This is too weird. It is too freaking weird. Ron, who's still lost in PA, writes, Mike, if privacy no longer means anonymity, and if that position stands, then doesn't that ex post facto do away with the privacy penumbras of the Constitution, which are explicit and don't preclude the mincing semantic distinction of anonymity? And aren't these synonyms anyway, privacy and anonymity? The meaning of these implications of the Constitution are wholly based on the Fourth Amendment's necessity of establishing probable cause before they are usurped by some arm of the government to so unceremoniously, so off the cuff. For likewise, isn't it a provision of the Constitution that the Supreme Court has the last word on the law, not some national security state apparatchik in a rumpled suit with a fine array of S&M gear in his bedroom closet? Because doesn't his point of view, and that's all it is, imply that the legal authority of his own position granted by the Constitution no longer exists as it did before, too? So who needs to be redefined here, huh? And who the hell is he speaking for anyway? The East India Company or something? Well, it is kind of 1773 now, isn't it? So you want to take away the security of my person and papers and effects, you bastard? Well, come and get them on your own anytime. And don't expect me just to roll over or get used to it. For my privacy is the soul of my life. And if you take my soul, my life means squat. And guess what? So does yours, sunshine. Yeah, I know that feeling, Ron. I'm just getting so furious. And I don't know. I would like to walk up to these people and get in their face and say something like that. You son of a bitch, don't you even think about telling me that privacy no longer means anonymity. Don't even think about it. And Buzzy and Howie Krongard, you Nazi bastards, don't even think about doing what you're doing. Because I and a couple hundred million other Americans are not going to let you do it. We're just not. We're not going to let you do it. We're not going to let you do it. We're not. Are we?
My president, I want to make more money than I can spend. I want to build more bombs than I can send. Somewhere I can even spell the name of. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I want a big, big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across your skies. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new.
Yeah.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Revolution. 25 before the hour. You know, eventually that's going to be true. You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy. It's probably going to be shortwave from some cave someplace. Jesus. We just got word from our engineering staff that, I didn't know this, but KPHX, the transmitter had been off today, and people in the Phoenix area had been listening. Those who were listening via the internet or Sirius or XM. But apparently the transmitter's back up now. So, hi, Phoenix. All right, last thing here, and then we're going to go to your phone calls. The number is 800-989-1480, by the way. This is from Nick in New Hampshire. Writes, Mike, all hell is breaking loose in Pakistan in the Bush administration after dithering and dathering for a week. The Bush administration is sending the commandant of the SS Gestapo, John Death Squad Negroponte, to talk to Musharraf. So, within 2 weeks of this meeting, top Pakistani opposition officials will begin to disappear. Negroponte will do for Pakistan what he did for Iraq and Central America. There will be a total blackout of U.S. media news coverage when the next outrage commences. Keep an eye on this one. Nick. Yeah. Yeah. Any place that Negroponte goes, he goes, he's the eliminator. Negroponte is a death's head. Negroponte would have slid so easily into the upper echelon of the SS in Nazi Germany. Negroponte would have arm wrestled the people who came up with the final solution for the Jewish people in order to have gotten that position. Not because they were Jews, but because they were human beings. Negroponte is a mass murderer. Where he goes, death follows. Always. Always. Yeah, so waking up in the morning, it is just a juxtaposition of heaven and hell for me. Every morning, I didn't know this was going to happen. When 4, 5, 6 years ago, you know, when Kathy said, you know, I'd like to have a child. And I said, well, Jesus, you know, I'm getting kind of old, but okay. And every morning, my now 3-year-old little girl comes into the bedroom and she runs in, usually with her pillow and maybe her little toy mermaid, sometimes her teddy bear. Yeah, I know. It's just like out of some damn Hallmark commercial. Except Molly. Molly comes in screaming. Mama! Mama! It's daytime! Mama! Not daytime? What is it she screams?
No, you're still asleep. It's lighter time.
It's lighter time!
It's lighter time. Wake up. It's lighter time.
And this is usually at 6:15 in the morning. And, you know, for that brief moment, you know, I'm at the age where I wake up in the morning now and I take inventory of everything that hurts, right? To see if, okay, what about the neck? Yeah. Sore throat? Yeah. What about your knee? Yeah. Left elbow? Yeah. What about that pull in your groin? Yeah. What, do you do that too? I'm not Kathy. I'm talking about people in the audience, right? You wake up, and you get to a certain age. You people are in your 20s and 30s and 40s. You'll find out what I'm talking about. You wake up and when you take inventory. Oh damn! Oh, let me move. Oh Jesus! Oh, must have slept. No. So Molly comes running in with her puppy, her teddy bear puppy thingy, you know, and her pillow, and for that brief shining moment. You know, the early morning light is coming through the bedroom window, and regardless of what you may have heard, we've had a gorgeous fall here in certain parts of North Georgia. I mean, we have trees back here in our part of the foothills of North Georgia Mountain that are just gorgeous. And that light comes in, that reflected light comes in, and everything, and for a moment, it's like, all of a sudden I don't know, 25 or 30, and I've got this wonderful little kid who's running in with a teddy bear, shrieking to her mommy that it's lighter time. And I have maybe 20 seconds, 15, before that is, you know, wiped away. And that little slice of heaven, or that little moment of whatever you want to call it, spiritual ecstasy, that's as close as I'll ever get. It's as close as I ever want to come, is replaced by that horrible sense of, oh my God, this is the United States of America. It is 2007. It is the middle of November. We are being dominated by the Bush crime family. There is this. There is that. Do you go through that? You go through that? Hmm? Do you have kids? And it doesn't have to be a little kid that runs into your room. You can just wake up and that brief moment where things are just too pretty outside. And I don't know what you're dealing with. We're all dealing with stuff, you know. Maybe you're dealing with an illness. Maybe you're dealing with a chronic condition or whatever. But there's that brief moment, isn't there? Do you still get that? That brief moment when you first wake up, before you start taking the inventory. You first wake up and outside the window, it just everything looks vibrant. But I digress. Let's do some phone calls here before we run out of time. Mary is calling from St. Martin. Is that right?
Yes. Good evening. I want to talk a little bit more on Carrick because you've only touched a few of the scandals. You know the love nest around Ground Zero?
Yes.
There's a lot more to that story. This real estate tycoon did not donate that space because he's a generous guy worried about the trauma of 9/11. He was driving his SUV down a parking garage ramp and ran over a homeless lady, killing her. The NYPD investigated him and didn't charge him, but they kept the garage tapes. He immediately began donating a lot of money to NYPD charities, hence donating the love nest. Oh. This would be something New Yorkers know maybe from the Village Voice or the New York Press. This is quite a juicy side story. Everything surrounding Carrick is like this. NYPD policemen sometimes have to go undercover to do drug busts and things, and part of their ID is getting some phony or useful credit cards under their fake name for their police name. It turns out under Carrick, they were running around charging things at, like, Home Depot for their homes and things on these cards, just running wild with these credit cards. I mean, there is so much sleaze with this guy. The largest lawsuit in New York City history of New York City being sued for anything was on his watch when they put his prison guards into the city precincts and began arresting and imprisoning people for, like, blinker light out and things that would be ticket offenses. Mm-hmm. And they were stripped like Abu Ghraib, sexually humiliated, forced to squat in front of guards, their genitalia showing, men and women, men threatened with rape, disgusting things over minor little blinker tail light things out. All of these victims of this sexual degradation sued the city for the most of anything in New York City history. That was Carrick. There's so much sleaze with Carrick, and it burns me up. They talk about two, three things, like Nannygate. No, those are not the crimes. There's missing money from corrections department charities when he's with corrections. There's like 20 scandals with this guy.
And Carrick is joined at the hip to Giuliani, always has been, always will be.
He drove, think. He drove Giuliani on all his trysts.
Right.
He was his private guy.
Right.
That's what made him go up.
Well, it was my understanding that Carrick got boosted because when Hannah or Donna Hanover, Giuliani's wife, on whom Giuliani was cheating with no regard for her mental health or the kids or anything,
right.
It was Carrick who would phone him and say, would phone Giuliani and say, you know, the bitch is on her way, and then do whatever necessary to divert her. These people are filthy. It stinks.
And you know what else, too, people don't talk about is Giuliani's private interests in security. He's got these private companies that's on the board of and president of that all have to do with higher and higher realms of security, you know, DNA testing and IDing and, you know, who knows, eye scans or whatnot that police work with. And he wants to profiteer off this by having a constant state of four-alarm, red alarm alert, you know? It's just money with him.
Well, I would expect that surely tomorrow, what do you think, Mary? By tomorrow, all the major news networks and the major national newspapers, LA Times, New York Times, Washington Post, Miami Herald, they will all have all the details of this filth and sleaze and connection between Carrick and Giuliani, and not to mention Fox News Channel and Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch, right? No.
They won't.
They won't do that.
I can imagine. And you know, these independent little papers are all dying out one by one. You know, pretty soon there won't be a New York Press or a Village Voice, or you know, pretty soon it'll just be the Fox People Magazine garbage everywhere. You know, except for maybe blogs. You know.
Hey, I've got to ask. How are you listening to us in St. Martin?
Very clearly on the computer, and I'm going crazy because there's no TV, and the radio here is all computerized radio with terrible old hits from the 80s, you know, and French disco. So
it's a real
lifesaver. Also, I'm out of the country, homeless, and I came down to take care of my mother. And when I leave this place, I don't think the U.S. is my destination because they're walling you guys in.
I hear you.
These border walls are to keep you in, not to keep foreigners out.
I hear that. Mary, stay in touch. Truly, stay in touch. Good to hear from you. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
For every mother's son, the only thing the same is death ain't for anyone. Hank Williams said it best. He said it a long time ago. Bless you and may no.
Your nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Got some other things here, but I want to get back to your calls. This was on Overman's program this evening, and oddly enough, I had put it on my little blog site this morning. If you go to MikeMalloy.com, sometimes in the early afternoon, you'll see what either I or Kathy have written, and sometimes we get to it on the program, sometimes we don't, but it's right there on the main page. But when I saw this in the Times today, it just, it absolutely and utterly, it just freaked me out. Natalie Maines and the Dixie Chicks all over again. But here it is. Let me just share this with you. Another example of Bush's sickness infecting everything and everyone it brushes up against. According to today's New York Times, a team of women who represent the United States at the World Bridge Championships in Shanghai last month is facing sanctions, including a year-long ban from competition. For a spur-of-the-moment protest, if protest is indeed the proper word for the actions, scribbled on the back of a menu and held up by one of the women at an awards dinner was the hastily written, "We didn't vote for Bush." By email, angry bridge players have accused these women of treason and sedition. Pause and think about that for a moment. Charges of sedition and treason from their fellow citizens as a result of an attempt at dark humor wrapped around a simple truth. It has become necessary for U.S. citizens abroad to declare their non-support for a president whose policies allow, demand, torture. Bush's smarmy, lying claims that the U.S. does not practice waterboarding and enhanced interrogation techniques to the contrary notwithstanding. The action by the team, which had won the Venice Cup, the women's title, at the Shanghai event, could cost United States Bridge Federation corporate sponsors. Which floats another thought balloon. Are there truly U.S. corporations ready to withdraw financial support to bridge players who simply declared they did not vote for George Bush? Yes, of course there are. The players have been stunned by the reaction to what they saw as a spontaneous gesture, a moment of levity, said Gail Greenberg, the team's non-playing captain and winner herself of 11 world championships. She said, what we were trying to say, not to Americans, but to our friends from other countries, was that we understand that they are questioning and critical of what our country is doing these days, and we want you to know that we too are critical. Ms. Greenberg said, stressing that she was speaking for herself and not her six teammates. The Times reports a hearing is scheduled this month in San Francisco where thousands of players will be gathered for the fall North American Bridge Championships. The hearing will determine whether displaying the sign constitutes conduct unbecoming a Federation member. And the possible penalty these U.S. Bridge Champions are facing if found guilty? A one-year suspension from Federation events. And these are professional players, including the World Bridge Olympiad next year in Beijing, a one-year probation after that suspension, 200 hours of community service that, quote, furthers the interests of organized bridge, end quote, and an apology drafted by the Federation's lawyer. The penalty would also require them to write a statement telling, quote, who broached the idea of displaying the sign, when the idea was adopted, and so forth. Alan Falk, a letter for the Bridge Federation, wrote the four team members on November 6, quote, I am instructed to press for greater sanction against anyone who rejects this compromise offer. Which means the compromise is really a dictation. Ms. Greenberg, the team's captain, said she decided to put up the sign in response to questions from players from other countries about American interrogation techniques, the war in Iraq, and other foreign policy issues. She said, quote, there was a lot of anti-Bush feeling, questions about our Iraq policy and about torture. I can't tell you it was an overwhelming amount, but there were several specific comments, and there wasn't the same warmth you usually feel at these events. End quote. It's just unbelievable. Just unbelievable. Treason. Sedition. Oh, I understand. It just comes, these are coming in the form of emails, like the Dixie Chicks and the Natalie Maines experience. These are coming from total asses, total jerk, whoops, be careful, total jerks, right-wing Republicans, brain-dead thugs, who think that questioning Bush equals sedition or treason. Oh my God, why don't you people get out of my country, huh? I just, I'll tell you, I'm starting to develop a really queasy feeling here about what's in store. All right, we have a break coming here very quickly, so we're going to take the break. We're going to come back, and we'll start with John, and then go to Cliff, and then Michael, and then another John, and then Lisa. All right, so you five folks stay right there. The phone number for anyone else who wants to join in tonight is 800-989-1480. Your conversation, your point of view when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. It's about 7 past the hour. Excuse me. Got another little Molly virus. That's another thing that's extremely dangerous about having a kid at my age. You know, when you're in your 20s or 30s, you have little kids coming home from school with all these damn viruses. They pick up these rhinoviruses. Eh, no big deal. The kid gets it, you get it. 24, 40 hours later, it's all gone. Not anymore. I went to my doctor the other day, you know, begging for antibiotic until he convinced me that it was a virus. He said, look, you know, you're just going to have to figure out some other way. Drink lots of peppermint tea. Drink green tea. Take vitamin C. Use a saline nasal wash and stop whining. I've got a great doctor. All right, a couple of emails, then we're going right back to your calls. This is from John. Mike, I look forward to the podcast of your show every day. Sweet relief. Like John in Las Vegas, I too am a piano tuner in the Baltimore area. You have both sides of the country covered with harmony-seeking admirers. Did you know? Oh, the subject line says it's conclusive, there is a God. John goes on, did you know that a few days before the tragic passing of the Reverend Jerry Falwell, in an interview with Christiane Amanpour, he said that he had asked God for at least another 20 years to, quote, accomplish his vision for Liberty University, end quote. Within a week, he was dead. Is there not truly a loving and merciful God? John. Yeah, I remember seeing that, now that you mention it, seeing Christiane get that quote out of him. Yeah, I'd like another 20 years of work. Yeah, okay. Goodbye. From Mayflower Mike, he writes, Mike, within 10 miles of my house is a corporation called Axicom, a billion-dollar corporation with contracts with NSA and the CIA. I've met people that work there, and they like to joke that they, quote, ruin people for a living, end quote. I don't think people really realize how much information they could obtain on you and me in minutes, but you can bet they will and can ruin you. Isn't it nice to know Big Brother is not only watching but trying to ruin you at the same time? A government that really hates its people, only in America. I've heard somewhere on the radio twice today that the actual troop count of dead in Iraq is really 12,000 plus, not 3,900. All kinds of veterans' families are calling to say, why is my son or daughter not on the list? Someone needs to look into this. Mayflower Mike. He lives in Arkansas. Well, Mayflower, Arkansas, right? Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Last one. From Jackie. I'm sure you saw the speech Bush gave today at Mukasey's swearing-in. I never laughed so hard in all my life when Bush praised Gonzalez and said he, Gonzalez, worked hard to make the nation more secure. I really like your show and listen via the Internet on KPOJ in Portland, Oregon. I used to live in Los Angeles. Now I live in Richmond, Virginia, where there are no progressive talk stations. Jackie. Well, you listen, you get the web stream from KPOG in Portland, and she lives in Richmond. The things people do, I'm always utterly and absolutely humbled to find out the things people will do to listen to progressive talk. Or, well, that's too general, to listen to this program. I really am. It's just amazing to me. All right, back to your phone calls, starting with John, who's listening in Minneapolis on KTNF. Hey, John.
Well, good evening.
Hi.
Have I mentioned yet how much I like you people?
Well, no, you haven't, but thank you.
Well, anyway, I just called to talk a little bit and mention, the last couple of years I've been handing out the 14 signs of fascism, a trifold. I put websites in it and quote, corporatism quotes, and so on and so forth. And then I run around with signs promoting you and Tom Hartman and Randy Rhodes, and we got you back on the air here in Minneapolis. So
Yeah, I'm well aware of that, and whatever was done by the listeners to make that happen, I am deeply indebted to y'all. Thank you.
Well, I haven't heard from Brother Sky Blue.
neither have I. I don't know what happened. He may have decided to come in out of the cold and go back to doing what he was probably trained to do, which it was either a college professor or a nuclear engineer. I always got that impression that Brother Sky was being a street preacher because it just felt like the thing to do at the time, and eventually his money would run out and he'd have to go back to being an engineer or a movie producer or something.
It is sad what's going on in the country, though. If you rock the boat, you get fired. My last job lasted 2 months.
They
knew I was handing out little pamphlets after work.
Oh, my God. You're kidding.
Well, there's many people. Linda Ronstadt got run out of Las Vegas, and he go on and on and on. These people come after you. What's happening to the country?
Yeah, well, the story I just shared with everybody about the bridge players who happened to hold up a sign that said we didn't vote for Bush, and then they get emails saying that they are committing treason or sedition. John, thanks, and be careful. Watch out handing out the pamphlets. As I used to say, watch your back. Thanks, John. Stay in touch. Cliff is calling from Long Beach, California. Hey, Cliff.
Hey, how you doing, Mike? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, congratulations on having a little three-year-old. I got a little three-year-old girl, too. And
really?
Yeah, she's pretty amazing. And I am not a flower of youth myself, either. I take inventory when I wake up myself.
Well, good for you. Three-year-old little girls are just amazing creatures.
She is.
You know, I've got a couple of adult daughters, but for some reason, I don't know. Their time as three-year-olds has kind of faded into the haze, and to have another three-year-old is just it's just incredible to be part of that.
I'll tell you, I never knew that I had the capacity. The amount of love that I have for this child.
I hear that. I hear
it
that.
It absolutely blows me away.
Yep.
Hey, I run I've been a licensed skipper for many years, for over 20 years, and I run a company. One of the things I do, I have a nonprofit agency down in Long Beach area, and we some of our people that we take out sailing is United States veterans and wounded vets and vets that are in recovery and so that's one of the things that we do. We take them out sailing.
Good for you, Cliff. I'm just good for you. That's great. That's great.
And I wanted to give you an interesting and funny anecdote. I don't know if you knew this or not, but there's several kinds of water that is referred to. There's all different terminology on a boat and a yacht and a
yeah.
Ship.
Somebody told me about this. There's white water, blue water, and black water.
Black water.
Yeah.
Black water is the, there's blue water, that's the water you're sailing on. There's,
right.
There's gray water, which
gray
is
water.
The water that you wash your hands with, and that goes down the sink and out the, and goes out into the water.
Right.
And there's potable water, which you drink, and then there's black water, and that is in the holding tank.
Right.
So.
It's they're well named. They're aptly named. And I saw this guy Prince, Eric Prince, on television again today. What a little Nazi this guy is. What an absolute Sieg Heiling SS Nazi this guy is. And he's proud of it.
Yeah, well it takes all kinds of people to make the world go round, but I tell you what, you know, I mean you're holding the torch for a lot of people here, Mike, and we appreciate that, and I listen to you all the time. I hope a lot more people do. You know, you gotta be able, like people like me out here, you know, you gotta be able to balance everything. And,
I hear you.
One thing I wanted to mention to you, Mike, is, you know, I have been listening to you for a while, and as things are progressing, you've been getting more and more vehement in some of your deliveries, and my wife and I, we don't often get along too well. In fact, we've had some big problems. My daughter's had some health issues, and hope to God she's going to come out okay. It seems like she might, but be that as it may, we've had a rocky road. And she taught me this one Buddhist saying, hate is like eating poison and expecting someone else to die.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, just wanted to say, you know, it would be terrible for you to become like them and let your hatred eat you up. You are very constructive and you're doing a very good job. But, you know, just from one guy who's frustrated and trying to deal with life with a 3-year-old and everything else to another, you know, take it to heart, man, that America is filled with Americans.
I hear you. And, Cliff, I appreciate what you had to say. I really do. And I understand that sentiment. I've had people who I know personally say basically the same thing. I react, and sometimes it's way over the top, and I understand that. But this rage, I don't know what to do with it. And eventually I'll find out a way to figure it out. If I ever come to Long Beach, let's go sailing. We'll take a break here. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Now living in a world where if you can't think, it's going to be hard to be a productive worker in the workplace.
Oh my God! 22 past the hour. Mike emailed in, and the subject line said, "Cliff is confusing hatred with a call for justice." Well, but Cliff is right. You know, I just get insane. I can't deny it. I cannot deny it. There is no way in hell, whether I have this radio program or not, is immaterial to the feelings that these bastards have stirred up in me. And I have a saying too that hatred does much more damage to the vessel in which it's carried than the object upon which it's poured. So I understand that. I really, really, really do. And sometimes I get just a tad embarrassed about my inability to keep this stuff in check when I'm on the air. You know, I don't listen to talk radio anymore, but I have heard some of my colleagues on the left, you know, from Randy to Tom to, I don't know, whoever it is, Peter Werby, Sam, you know, and I listen to them, and they have the same kind of same depth and degree of indignation, I guess, but they have a better handle on it. And I just can't get there. I mean, I've tried, Cliff. I've tried to get there. I've tried. I swear to God, there is not a night when I don't come into this little studio here that we have and take another look at what I've got on the rundown for the night's program that I've worked on during the day, and I don't sit here and say to myself, okay, now tonight, you know, watch your mouth, watch your language, don't go berserk. You can handle this. It's a radio program, for God's sake. Don't you know? Don't go off your nut. And I have all the best intentions, but you know what they say about the road to hell and what it's paved with. So usually within 5 minutes, I think the record I set was one time I hadn't even finished introducing myself. Hi, this is Mike Molinova, and already, and I just went nuts. And I think somebody said, you just broke your own record, pal. That took 7 seconds. So, no, I understand. I really do. You know, I'm not trying to come up with some Weasley cop-out when I say there's nothing I can do about it. There really isn't, Cliff. You know, I try to offset that with other things in my life, that kind of rage, that kind of hatred. But it is pure, unadulterated hatred. It's not tempered with anything. There is nothing about any member of the Bush crime family that I can respect. I'm sure they have families. I'm sure they have children. I'm sure they have mamas and daddies. I'm sure they maybe at one time or other. Well, no, and I was going to say they've done something for other people other than their family. That would be impossible for a Republican, especially this gang. I'm sure they have all the trappings of a normal human being, like you do, like I do, like so many of us do. But they still turn my stomach. They disgust me because they're hypocrites and liars and they're slimy. And God help their children. God help their grandchildren. They're nasty. Some of them are these rapture-ready freaks. Some of them are neo-Nazis. I've yet to meet a Bush supporter who had anything that I could sense or I could feel that was valid, legitimate, authentic, loving, kind. It's not there. So, you know, I can't love a mass killer. I can't do it. All I can feel for the mass, you know, maybe Jesus could, maybe the Buddha could, I can't. All I feel for a mass killer or a destroyer of worlds or an SS guard or somebody that sends children to their deaths, whether it's in gas chambers or in their own houses as a result of a missile strike, the only thing I can feel for those people is utter, stone cold, enraged, I would like revenge, hatred. I can't get past it, Cliff. I'm not a young man. I've been around. I've done things. I've gone places. I've had my head opened and my head closed, okay? And I'm just telling you, there is no way. What you hear on this program is who I am, but I know you know that. We'll be back after the break. To your phone calls, I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Stay with us.
The Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey-free zone.
It's about 25 before the hour. Back to your phone calls here. Michael is calling from the Bronx, listening on the internet. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you again.
My pleasure.
You know, I wish I was there to give a previous call of yours a big high five, a wonderful woman that spoke to you about Bernard Kerik and making connections with Giuliani. And
oh, yeah,
the
woman that called from the islands, from St. Where'd she call from, Kathy? St. Thomas? No, St. Martin.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful lady. Like I said, if she's listening, high five to you, because she mentioned so many things about Kerik, and I don't even know. And she also mentioned that as soon as Kerik was indicted, what did he do? The same thing that Giuliani is always doing, invoking 9/11.
Oh, sure.
I am getting so sick and tired of these bastards politicizing 9/11. It's not just politicizing off of it as just to because they don't have the answers to various issues or whatever. They don't know how to handle it.
They're filthy cowards, and they hide behind this tragedy that to greater or lesser degrees they helped bring about because they're Republicans, because they supported the Bush crime family. And I think anyone with the sense that evolution gave a bag of doorknobs, people understand or should understand that the Bush crime family had something to do with 9/11, either by omission or commission. It doesn't matter. They still did.
But you just said the magic word, Mike, and that was crime. If you look back at the crimes committed by Giuliani and now by Kerik, and you better be sure that the Kerik scandal is going to be a big cloud hovering over Giuliani, but that is just a fraction of the other crap that Giuliani has done to his wife, to the people here in New York City. I mean, I can go on and on and on. I'm just getting real fed up with him politicizing. Everything coming out of his mouth, he says, well, ever since September 11th, this September 11th, that. You turn around and ask him his favorite sex position, he'll say 9/11, while the average American says 69. I mean, it's just absolutely outrageous.
I hear you.
Oh, my God. What are we going to do?
Well, I don't know at this point. I really don't. It's just getting curiouser and curiouser, as Alice said, or as Malloy says. Mm-hmm. It's getting absolutely effed up. I mean, things are just getting weird.
Can I offer a quick advice before I go?
Yeah.
Yeah, to my fellow listeners. The next time that son of a bitch mentions 9/11, understand that it's not just politicizing, but it's using it as a freaking cover-up to his past.
I hear you. Thanks, Michael.
Take care, buddy.
All right, I appreciate you checking in. Back to your phone calls. John is calling from Fayetteville, Arkansas, listening on the Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, John.
Hey. On the bright side, your rage may convince a lot of people like me that we're, A, not crazy, and B, not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing, I wanted to remind you that Negroponte is not a one-trick pony. His signature, of course, is the bound hands and the bullet in the head, but when shortly after he went to help out in Nicaragua and Honduras, if you'll remember, there were a bunch of nuns who were working with the poor oppressed people who started getting tortured and dropped out of helicopters to deaths in the ocean below.
Right.
Which makes me think, I certainly hope Prime Minister Bhutto does not accept any helicopter rides to negotiations with Musharraf.
I have the same sense. Negroponte, as I've said many times, where he goes, Mr. Death, you know, the guy in the black hood with the huge scythe, comes right behind him. This guy is an absolute Negroponte, to a lesser degree, like Chertoff, is the same to a lesser degree. But Negroponte defines death stalking and walking on the planet. It there's no question in my mind about that.
Even
none.
His name, Black Point, says something.
Yeah, right.
But could I make one other quick point?
Sure.
I have coffee with a bunch of old right-wing geezers in the morning.
Uh-huh.
One of them was talking this morning about he was hoping we'll run against Nancy Pelosi out in California.
Right.
What's her name? The one, the lady that lost the son.
Cindy Sheehan. And
he said he hopes she does because she's a troublemaker and will bring bad light on the party. And I said, well, why do you say she's a troublemaker? And he said, well, she got thrown out of that meeting at the Capitol for raising a ruckus. And I said,
for wearing a T-shirt.
Yeah, I said, well, why did she raise a ruckus? He said, well, she was wearing this T-shirt that, you know, was objectionable. And I said, well, where in the Constitution is it that it says you can't wear a T-shirt that expresses your opinion?
Right.
And what right did the guard have to ask her? And wouldn't it have been totally un-American of her not to raise a ruckus when somebody's challenging your right to free speech?
Uh-huh.
So anyhow, all...
And what was the answer?
His answer was, well, she's a troublemaker.
Yes, yeah, okay.
Okay, thank you.
Of course. She's a troublemaker. John, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Lisa is calling from Crystal Lake, Minnesota, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. First, I kind of have to laugh when you're talking about your three-year-old, because I have a three-year-old as well, and they are definitely unique and frustrating.
They really are, especially frustrating. Oh, my God.
And I also have a five-year-old and a one-year-old. So.
Wow, you have one, three, and five?
Oh, and I do foster care. And I have a three-year-old foster kid, so life is really fun.
I bet you have a fun day, Lisa.
Oh, yeah, it's never boring. I was listening to your program because I couldn't get I was going to listen to Stephanie Miller earlier,
mm-hmm.
and she's not on Sirius anymore. I'm like, wait a minute.
Well, I think isn't she on in the morning?
Well, I listen to her on Sirius.
Yeah.
Because it's more convenient for me because it's like during the supper hour, so I'm making dinner and I'll listen to her while I fix dinner.
I see.
And I attempted to do that again tonight, and I was stunned to see she's not on. I'm like, what happened?
Huh.
But I don't know what the deal is with that, if she just spoke up too much against Bush and they decided to change the programming.
No, Sirius wouldn't do that. Absolutely not. I don't know. Maybe they just moved her to a different channel. Maybe you tuned in on a night when they had some other programming. I'm not sure. But Sirius would never, ever, ever, ever take Stephanie off the air because of her point of view.
My husband checked on this. The Sirius website, and they changed the programming. She's not on Sirius 146 anymore.
Okay. Well, they moved her then for a reason other than what she talks about.
I hope so.
Who's in her slot?
I have no idea. Some really boring guy. Listening to him tonight, and it was like, you know, listening to those old Peanuts, you know, shows and stuff like that where the adults are talking, and it's just wah, 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 you know, in the background. I couldn't listen to the guy. It's really boring.
Well, let me just say about Sirius and XM. They contract with Stephanie's program is distributed, I think, by what, Kathy? Jones Radio Network? I'm not sure. But they contract with, because, you know, Sirius and XM are subscriber services, and they contract with these various programs or with the syndicator who handles the various programs. And it could be, you know, maybe the contract ran out, maybe this, maybe that. But Sirius never, ever, 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 under any circumstances, would drop Stephanie because of her point of view. My God, they have me on.
The world hasn't come to that.
Yeah, right. I mean, if they'll carry me, they'll carry Stephanie. They have Lynn Samuels, for God's sake. You ever listen to Lynn?
No, I can't stand that voice.
Yeah, well,
you know, nothing against you. Know,
it is kind
truth.
Of a New York voice. You know what I mean?
But, do you remember that show, The Nanny?
Yes, I
do.
Can't
Fran Drescher. But when you talk about speaking up against Bush, anytime you speak up against him, you're unpatriotic.
Yeah.
And it's really sad because I was talking to a friend of mine on the computer it was before the last election.
Uh-huh.
And she asked who I was voting for because it was my first time voting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been a Canadian citizen up until that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, that's why I became a U.S. citizen so I could actually vote and have a voice in, you know, the electoral process.
Sure.
And she asked if I was voting for Bush. I'm like, no. And she goes, well, how unpatriotic are you?
Oh, my
I'm
God.
Like, excuse me?
You're kidding.
I'm like, that's the most patriotic thing to do is voice your disapproval over the administration. That is our right in the Constitution to do that.
It must be shocking to you to you become an American citizen so you can vote, and then you hear somebody say something like that.
I'm just like, okay, whatever. I haven't really talked to her much since, but I was just like, wow.
Well, Lisa, I'm glad you have found this program. I hope to hear from you again, okay?
Oh, you probably will.
All right. Take care. Take care, Lisa. What was it? American Skin? Was that the Springsteen album? Forty-one shots. Do y'all remember 41 shots about the Amadou Diallo case?
This is your life. It ain't no secret.
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 No secret, my friend. You can't kill just for living. Kill just for living. You can get killed just for living. You can get killed just for living. You can get.
Shots. 41 shots.
need some quiet. Shots, and we'll take that ride across this bloody river.
Thanks to the crew, Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Chris in Minnesota, Catherine Bay.
41 shots cut through the night. You're kneeling over his body in the vestibule, praying for his life.
Bruce Springsteen on the police state that Giuliani ran. You all remember Amadou Diallo, don't you? 41 bullet holes in him. What did he have in his hand? His wallet. It ain't no secret. It ain't no secret. It's no secret, my friend. You can get killed just for living in your American skin. Giuliani. Carrick. Negroponte. Bush. Cheney. Oh my God. Don't get started. Pete's calling from Wisconsin, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Pete.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Not too bad. Wife and I listen to your show every night. We love you.
Thank you very much.
Something that I've noticed here last couple days, we're a truck driver. And North Dakota fuel stops have been telling us that they've been having a hard time getting fuel in.
Oh, yeah?
And they've been telling, or they've been paying guys to sit at these at the bulk plants for anywhere from 16 to 24 hours to get in line for the next day fueling, and they're only allowing 10 trucks a day. And the bulk plants are plumb full.
Why only 10 trucks?
You tell me. Is the government trying to get a surplus built up? How close are we to going into Iran here, really?
Yeah,
we haul brass to an ammunition plant in Idaho, mm-hmm. and they just called for 50 truckloads of brass.
It sounds like shell casings, doesn't it?
That's what they're used for.
Yeah.
It kind of makes you wonder where we're really headed for. It's scary.
Yeah, really, yeah, it is. Well, tell me again this thing about the oil trucks.
Yeah, I don't understand that because I stopped at one place to get fuel one day, and the guy showed me that number one fuel was going for $4 a barrel or right. $4 a gallon right out of the tanker.
Right.
And I said, holy man, that's got to cost you a bundle. He said, that's not the point. He says, trying to get it is the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
And then today I filled up at a place and we got talking about it. He said, yeah, he said, we pay our drivers 16 to 24 hours of sit time just to be one of the first 10 at that bulk plant to get oil.
I'll be damned.
Fuel.
Hmm.
And they're only loading 10 trucks a day.
Well,
and the bulk plants are plumb full of oil or gas.
Something's up, Pete.
Yeah, I know. You're telling me.
Yeah.
So I just figured I'd pass that through you.
All right. Well, thanks, and thanks for tuning in. I know when you're out on the road, you've got, especially if you have Sirius Satellite Radio, you got all kinds of choices. Thanks for tuning in, Pete. I appreciate it. Jeremy is calling from Cumberland, Maryland. Jeremy, welcome to the program.
Hi. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing all right. This is the first time I ever listened to your show. I listen to a lot of conservative and left radio back and forth. I happened to tune into your show today right as you were saying something. I caught the end of it, but you referred to Bush as a murderer, I believe.
Oh yeah, mass killer. Yeah.
Okay. I have to assume you're referring to the war right now.
No, I'm referring to just partly the war. Also his record of executions in Texas. The bombing of, and machine gunning of civilians, the hiring of private contractors who are not covered by the Uniform Code of Military Justice or by the laws of the country of Iraq. George Bush is a mass killer. The sanctions against Iraq, the starvations, the use of what is called white phosphorus, or in the military it's called Willie Peter. He's a mass killer. There's no question about it. A mass murderer.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to talk about the Texas executions because I'm not going to sit here and try and talk about something I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Well, I understand that. I understand that it's difficult to talk. But if you're going to talk about George Bush, Jeremy, you have to be honest. If you're not going to be honest, I don't want you on this program. I'm not going to give you the microphone. George Bush did not get invented, or he didn't spring fully formed from the loins of some beast when he stole the presidency. This son of a bitch has been walking the earth for as long as you have, probably longer, and his record hangs with him like a stench. So, sorry, Jeremy, you want to talk about George Bush? I'll talk about George Bush with you anytime. But don't try to start the George Bush story other than where it begins. Thanks to everybody for participating tonight, even the right winger. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, okay? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
If an officer stops you, promise me you'll always be polite, and that you'll never ever run away, and promise mama you'll keep your hands inside. We're